Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And it's Valentine's Day.
Yes, exciting holiday.
We're celebrating in our elaborately decorated Valentine's studios here at WIPR. It's amazing that they did this for today.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I can't believe they'll have it all down by Monday. I guess, well, we'll see if they do or they don't. We'll hear all about it, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So you had an alternative to the Wellington. We're running through Valentine's, an elaborate meal or entertainment. Wellington being sort of the pinnacle challenge, if you want to take that high risk, high reward sort of a challenge as a cook at home.
An easier way to sort of deal with beef tenderloin, you could do slightly smaller portions and just saute it, or you could sear the large piece and roast it in the oven so it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind for a little while, and then just make, instead of doing the whole, you know, Wellington thing, just make a mushroom duxelle, which these are easy to find ingredients. A little bit of shallot, finely chopped. Button mushrooms, finely chopped, sauteed in a little bit of butter with salt and pepper until it's just about to caramelize. And once it begins to caramelize, you can, when you go to plate, you can put that little bit of the duxelle underneath the beef tenderloin. And if you have roasted it as a whole piece, just cut it into your two portions, sit it on the duxelle, and then make a very simple cream sauce of Madeira and cream with a little bit of salt and pepper in it. Just heat it up, reduce it down, and you can pour that around the beef tenderloin with the duxelle. The flavors go together really beautifully. If you do happen to have some stock, a little bit of stock reduction in that sauce makes it even prettier. But, I mean, you can make this very simply, and it doesn't take a lot of time, and you can find all of those ingredients, and then your investment is only in your beef tenderloin, really, which is an expensive piece of beef, but if you're going to do something special.
But it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
right,
if you're going to do something special. And you could always, you know, throw the whole thing over the top and forget everything I've said and add a lobster to the top of that, too. And it wouldn't be such a bad thing.
You
could put part of a lobster tail on.
A live lobster on your beef.
You could put a lot.
Good luck with that.
Really, I don't think that would be very romantic. But a couple of medallions of lobster on top would be pretty good, too. So, but anyway, kind of blew my whole inexpensive alternative.
Is your Valentine Diamond Jim Brady? I'd like to have 100 oysters followed by tornadoes Rossini and a live lobster on top of beef tenderloin. Mm.
So the other idea was a progressive picnic.
Yes. So a picnic meaning now it's chilly on Valentine's.
Well, it's an indoor picnic. I just think it's fun. It's casual. It's
that sounds
not,
like
you know,
it has excellent romantic potential, the indoor
picnic.
That's what
I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it does. You know, the whole idea is you start in one place and you end up in another.
Oh, my.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you can
use
that.
Did I just say that out loud?
I don't know if you can use that tone on National Public Radio.
But anyway, you start in the kitchen. So I think you should still start with those oysters
you probably are going to start in the kitchen.
and then you know, I think it would be fun to have just all different kinds of cured meats, which, again, we have some fantastic grocery stores in our area. And you can find these things, you know, whether it's Finocchiono or a
big Italian salami.
Or a regular salami, or, you know, just whatever it is that you like. Different types of hams and maybe porchetta. And, you know, just have all kinds of different things. Maybe have a couple, as we talked about earlier, have a couple of different types of oysters. And definitely have a little bit of cheese out at this point. I mean, you know, this is what we love in the United States, so why not go ahead and have it? And you can buy all kinds of good cheese locally. So, you know, have a couple of different types of cheese and definitely something that's maybe a cow's milk piece that's a little runny and pretty and something sheep's milk and, you know, maybe get a washed rind piece that's got some strong flavors to it to go with the meats and, you know, just have fun with it or whatever it is that you like. And then while you have all those things, you're going to have hopefully great bread out.
I'll tell you what I like is I like jamón ibérico, the great, great ham from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that and champagne and oysters have loaves out. And I'll say, I guess cheese would be better in the first room you started than in the last, right?
Yes. You know, why not have that? I mean, I think that's the idea of a picnic is, you know, if you have started in the kitchen with your oysters, which have to be opened in the kitchen, so might as well just stand there and eat them while you're opening them and then go into the living room or wherever it is that you're comfortable, hang out, you know, and then sort of and also have maybe some dried fruits, you know, whether it's figs and prunes and apricots and cherries and cranberries, all sorts of dried fruits and nuts. Those can all be laid out. These are all things, again, you can just set it all up ahead of time. Time. You know,
you're setting us up almost like a trail.
Jeez. I knew this was, going to be difficult talking about with you, but anyway, I'm just going to keep going, forging ahead.
Hang on, I'm getting
Tony.
A powerful image.
Oh boy, I don't want you to have powerful
like
image.
If someone is shucking oysters, if someone is shucking oysters, their hands are going to be too dirty to handle their own champagne glass, meaning that someone else is going to have to. Be pouring champagne into your throat.
Well, okay.
So all maybe now's a good time to talk about a couple of good champagnes.
Okay, yes.
two wines, dollar for dollar, small growers that I think are fantastic. Real champagne. One is Gonet Medville, GONET-MEDVILLE. Several different wines from them. They make an excellent rosé. I think the Blanc de Noir is probably the best wine. Literally black, white from blacks. It's a wine that has a bit of a golden hue to it for champagne. It is not super duper expensive. It's not as famous as some of the other names that are out there. That's a big, rich style. Another house, if you like really moussey, I just want to say zippy, citrusy, long, sharp, clean champagne. Maybe great for oysters. Jean-Marc Solec is a very good small grower I've talked about before. And he has a couple of different bottlings. The Cote d'Or is a great one. Just the regular non-vintage bottling from them is a great purchase. I would look at that as well. But that's a couple of champagne ideas for
that
oyster that someone is shucking for you that you can be pouring that champagne down their throat. So please, take us down the trail.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I think that there should be some grapes somewhere.
Some grapes?
Grapes and maybe fresh, you know, more fresh, some fresh fruit. You've had dried fruit and things and breads and nuts with your cheese and your meats and all that stuff. And now we need some freshness. And so maybe you could have some sorbet planted somewhere as well. That's sorbet. What I'm thinking.
Are there costumes?
Iced down sorbet.
It's funny. You went from like
ice cream.
This very involved, elegant meal. This very involved, elegant meal to something that, you know, essentially is like, you know, like waiting for someone to come around with a lyre, plucking a lyre.
That's pretty much what I was thinking.
Yeah, and trails of fruits off into various various parts of your abode.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you said it for me, Tony.
I'm deeply impressed with the diversity of those ideas.
Mm-hmm. So what else can we drink? Oh, how should we finish up drinking? This kind of situation.
Let's instead of being completely silly for 2 minutes,
really?
What is a practical way to get fed during the progressive meal? Is there a main course that's the kind of thing that, like, because you've been fooling around for an hour or something with with champagne and oysters and and jamon and fruits and nuts. And so, seriously, a practical, like, let's say you've moved from the one room to the other room and you've been snacking, but you want a something.
Yeah, I think a braised dish, you know, that's
plate.
Something.
You
that's,
want a plate of something.
Right, you want something serious. So, you know, a braised dish is something that's in the oven that you know, don't have to worry about. It's not a critical dish. So, meaning something that will be cooked to a certain temperature, sauteed or something quickly. So, Blanquette de Veau is a very pretty dish. And, you know, you're just braising an off cut of veal, whether you use the shoulder or, you know, just talk to your butcher and find something. And you would, one of the things about making blanquette is that it's supposed to be white. So you don't actually brown the meat. So it's sort of a little bit of an easier task to braise. So, you know, you're basically blanching your veal in stock and adding aromatics like carrots, leeks, shallots, onions, and You could add a little bit of button mushroom as a garnish to the dish at the end. But I think the carrots are very important. So you want them to be either baby carrots or a small carrot that you can have, you know, a decent, like maybe the size of your finger or something, little finger. But you want to have real pieces of carrot in and the button mushrooms. And this dish is finished with cream. So once you're done braising it, you can add a little bit of cream to that braise and heat it up and reduce it down a little bit further. And that can be in the oven and ready to go. And
you could just be holding that in a 200 oven or something.
Exactly. And you could do, you could even have a little buttered noodle or a little bit of rice, whatever, again, you know, is your particular choice, and have that ready to go and
like
garnish.
Nice brioche toast. Like butter brioche
toast.
That
would,
just do
that would
for
be
a
good
minute
because it would be done. Yeah.
I always want to put a couple of those on the plate. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds ridiculous, but like as an American kid, like loving cream chip beef.
Oh, sure.
The best French version of cream chip beef.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet, right?
Would be great. And it's easy. And if you want to go to red wine, then it can be really pretty Pinot. It can be Pinot from Burgundy. If you want to bank on Valentine's and some of the romantic French name, Chambon Moussigny, something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to do Barbaresco with some age on it if you'd rather have something Italian. But you can easily keep drinking champagne, especially the richer styles.
That would be nice. But either way, but I think it's an easy way to have something substantial and not have to really deal with anything.
So is there any way to end other than with chocolate?
I don't think so. Not on Valentine. So... gosh, there's about a million different things you could make. You know, you could certainly make chocolate mousse, which is pretty easy to produce.
Read Julia Child's recipe and make it. It's good.
Totally. a great flour.
If you listen to nothing else that we say.
A flourless chocolate cake, which is lighter in texture and is good at room temperature.
Or one of the great local chocolatiers. There are several who do good work.
Mm-hmm. Or you can make a chocolate crème caramel or chocolate crème brûlée. Well, that might be fun too, and then you can brulee it and
feeling chocolate and eggy at the same time.
Crusty thing, yeah. Wonderful sugar topping, and there's a lot of choices. Or if you just maybe have some great bonbons or truffles or something.
People always ask me about wine with chocolate. It's funny. Even my dad is like, chocolate and red wine meant to go together. Well, I think that not every red wine is meant to go with chocolate. I do think it's hard to put many whites unless they're crazy sweet.
Mm.
Wines from a little town, Banyuls, in the south of France.
Yeah.
Do great. Mauri from down there also.
Mm-hmm.
Do great with chocolate dishes. Serve them a little cool, like you would most red wines. Say 60 degrees, something like that. Just not chilled, but cool. Makes a big difference. The alcohol is a little bit higher. Port can work very well. Tawny port in particular. Vintage port can be pretty tannic unless you have a lot of older stuff. And the older stuff, honestly, you may want to have that on its own. Madeira is probably the one white wine that does well with chocolate, and that's going to be pretty sweet and have pretty good acidity. If you have a pretty complex chocolate dessert that's very sweet, especially that has any citrusy elements or acid elements, Madeira, Malmsey Madeira, Boal Madeira can work really, really well. You can also, if the chocolate dessert is not so sweet, say the flourless chocolate cake you're talking about, if it's not that sweet, you could have a glass of really great fruity Red Zinfandel from the Great 13 Vintage from Sonoma County and be very happy about it. So I think that's all we have time for on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to follow Chef Wolf on social media,
you can follow me on Twitter at Chef Cindy Wolf or on Instagram at Chef Wolf.
And if you want to download this or any of the other podcasts of our program, go to the WYPR site, WYPR.org, and look up the Foreman Wolf page, and you can find this and all the other programs. Thanks so much for listening.
And happy Valentine's Day.